CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here to take us to Venus, my favorite morning star when winter comes spring. It's always right up above, and I can walk to it, knowing spring is on its way. But Bob is taking us all the way to Venus, down below the clouds, to the surface of Venus, and this looks like an active planet, Bob. Is that an understatement? Good evening.
Good evening, John. There was a report this week, a new paper published, that confirmed a paper from last year. Last year, I reported this. There was a researchers that looked at archival data from the Magellan Orbiter from 90 and 92. It made two radar surveys of the surface of the planet through the clouds, and it did it twice in 90 and then 92. And what those researchers did in 23 was they compared images, radar images from at certain locations, and they detected changes that looked like lava flows. So they announced last year that they have evidence of active volcanism that took place sometime between 90 and 92 on Venus. Well, this new report this week did the same thing with that archival data, but looked at two different places on Venus. So this brings the numbers up to about four different places where they saw in the data a change over 2 years, which indicates volcanism taking place on Venus, active volcanism. Now, there had been early reports almost three decades ago from Magellan, but from the Pioneer orbiter that went around Venus, that atmospheric sulfur increased in the atmosphere, which suggested volcanism as well. And so these reports now are just adding weight to the belief that, like the Earth, and Venus, remember, is about the same size as the Earth, only a little bit smaller, has active volcanic activity. Venus is different than the Earth based on what we know right now in that it has millions of volcanoes all across the planet and doesn't appear to have plate tectonics, no water, no oceans to probably contribute to that. But it does appear, because there's no moving plates, that volcanoes occur almost all across the planet, and you have a lot of volcanic. And now we have a pretty good idea that it's an active planet like the Earth, John.
Bob, what is a trans-Neptunian object?
Trans-Neptunian objects, these are asteroids beyond the orbit of Neptune, but they're not quite out to the Kuiper Belt beyond. Pluto would be considered a trans-Neptunian object because they think it was an asteroid captured in a low orbit. And so what's interesting is, using the Webb Space Telescope and its infrared capabilities, they have used this to look at about just under 60 of these asteroids out in the far parts of the solar system. And the spectroscopy from Webb, which is really its function, revealed both dry ice, carbon dioxide, and carbon monoxide on the surface of these asteroids. And in fact, the CO2, the dry ice, was ubiquitous. 95% of those asteroids had a lot of CO2 on the surface, and about half of them had carbon monoxide on the surface. Now, the dry ice is interesting because it suggests these are all primitive objects from the very early solar system. This suggests that there was a lot of dry ice and carbon dioxide in the early solar system. And that's just interesting. It'll help us try to figure out how the solar system formed and what it was maybe like when the Earth was forming as well. The carbon monoxide is more puzzling because this is not a stable molecule. Even at these distances in the cold, the radiation that exists would cause this carbon monoxide to sublimate very quickly. So that it's there suggests radiation is making the carbon dioxide change in the carbon monoxide. But we don't know that, and that's a mystery that's going to happen.
Is there any probe out there, Bob, bound out for these trans-Neptunian?
No, not really. I mean, you've got New Horizons on its way out, and it's looked at one, but because of its course, it's really not going to get close to another. So it tries to look at them, but always from a distance.
Can we regard these as elements of the formation of the planets?
Yes, these are very primitive objects. That's why finding lots of carbon dioxide on them tells us something about the early solar system. There are proposals, of course, to go out here, but it's a far away, so it takes time.
And a galactic bar, that doesn't sound like a Star Wars bar.
No, this is not a place where you pick up a drink. This is a nice Hubble picture of a barred spiral galaxy The picture is really cool. I posted it partly because it discusses barred spirals. I had not known that barred spiral galaxies comprise 60% of all galaxies. You know, you got the spiral, and you got the which forms a whirlpool, and you got elliptical galaxies are like just a ball. Bars have a bar and then spiral arms, and they don't really know why that happens, John. That's kind of cool.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.